morning, Liberty Vineyard. Good morning and welcome to this series we're doing on Proverbs. I'm Nancy Penton. I know Pastor Zach has been doing a lot of messages on Proverbs. He introduced it and he talked about different things. And today we're going to be talking about our heart. Now, when you think about your physical heart, you think about all the things that a heart does, but we're going to be talking about our spiritual hearts. But let's look at our physical hearts. They need to beat about how many times a minute? Maybe 72 is like the ideal. And what's the ideal blood pressure? Maybe 120 over 80, something like that. Anything higher is too high. If it's, you know, so our hearts, our physical hearts have to have just the right balance of pressure and the right balance to circulate all the blood all around our body. So oxygenated blood goes one way and deoxygenated blood comes back from the tissues. Now, several years ago, you might know, and you helped us through this, when Alan was in the hospital, he had a bacteria that was walling itself off from the circulation. So he had multi-system organ failure, and the cardiologist was called in because if they could get the heart to stop the arrhythmia, then the heart could pump the blood and the drugs to the places that were becoming necrotic because they weren't receiving enough circulation. They weren't getting the life from in the blood. And in the scriptures, we know life is in the blood. So the cardiologist came in and took a look and tried to get the arrhythmia done and then had a step back. So you prayed us through this. We got through this. We still have cardiologists. A lot of us see cardiologists because it's the cardiologist that guards our physical hearts and makes sure that the cardiac enzymes are right, the blood pressure's right, the pulse is right. It can't be too fast, can't be too slow. If you don't have enough beats, you're going to have bradycardia and you're going to go into a crisis. If you have too many beats, you have tachycardia and you go into a crisis. So today we're going to just talk about our spiritual hearts. Our spiritual hearts are the seat of our emotions, the seat of our will, the seat of our just our ethics, you know, right in our heart. We make decisions in our heart and we're guided a lot of times by our heart. If you know the scripture in the New Testament about if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So good news today, but let's look in our hearts. And we're going to look at one particular proverb and we're going to look at Proverbs 4:23. Anybody have it memorized? It's in different versions. NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The NASB says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And then the New King James Version, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence today. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. We'll take this apart. Let's look at the context of Proverbs 4:23, and we'll look at the actual passage of Proverbs 4:23. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to the parts of the body. I have them highlighted on the screen. Listen to the parts of the body that are involved. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Turn your foot from evil. So, when we think of a guard, I think of both a noun and a verb. But let's look at the guard, the noun. I think that guards are posted in places to make things secure. So you think of a guard at a prison, a guard at a bank, a guard at Buckingham Palace. You think of the changing of the guard, maybe at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Different kinds of guards. What kinds of guards can you think of? Crossing guards, yes. All right. And we post guards on watch at military installations and all these different, there's an honor guard at a funeral sometimes. And there were guards posted at the tomb of Jesus. There were guards when Peter was in prison, when Paul and Silas were in prison, guards were there, right? But now the verb, that's the noun. The job of a guard is the verb. To keep watch over. The Hebrew word is natsar. Natsar, to guard, to protect, to guard from dangers, to watch over, to guard with fidelity, to preserve. And some of the translations for our verse today say, keep watch over your heart. Others say, guard your heart. Same concept, okay? And so we're going to guard our heart today, and the word for guard is translated keep, preserve, watch over. So let's look at some examples. Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. That keep right there is that natsar. It's the watch over, guard. Guard his covenant and his testimonies. Psalm 25:21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. That's that word, preserve me, for I wait for you. And then we have this word in Proverbs. In many places, I just chose a few. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And then Proverbs 24:12. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? So as I was pondering and praying about guarding hearts, I looked at things we would guard our hearts against. And then there are some things we guard our hearts with. And so let's do some things we guard our hearts against. The first one is guarding our hearts against sin. Guarding our hearts against sin. How many of us have memorized that little verse from a child and maybe even in Awanas, our kids are memorizing, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And of course, our kids wouldn't memorize it in King James. They would memorize it in something like, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, the NIV. It would be, but I have a lot of King James in my heart. Okay. And then we can look back in that Proverbs 4 chapter. In verse 4, then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. And we have that verse in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we guard our heart against sin with the word of God, with prayer, with asking the Lord to search us and know us. The next thing we guard against is pride and vanity. And I have that together because of a hymn I learned as a child. It has to do with years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. How many know that hymn by William Newell, 1895? Well, when pride comes, Proverbs 11:2, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Pride goes before destruction, Proverbs 16:18, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 22:8, he who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. And then we have other verses in the New Testament. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We have that in James 4:6, and then in 1 Peter 5:5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So we guard against pride and vanity with the cross of Christ, how much he loved us and gave himself for us. And this morning we sang that song about a beautiful exchange. When only love could break these chains, you gave your life in a beautiful exchange. So we can break the chains of that vanity and pride with that beautiful exchange with God. Then guard your heart against deceptions. What are deceptions? Things like the enemy would come in and say, "Hath God said? Hath God really said?" Just kind of questioning. That's what the enemy did for Eve in the garden. "Hath God said?" Questioning the character and consistency of God. You know, Alan, my famous husband, says, this is his quote, "When you deceive yourself, you are really deceived." That's Alan's quote. When you deceive yourself, you're really deceived. And that's because you've lost that measure of truth. You've lost it. You know, you start believing this deception. And we can guard against strongholds that camp out in our mind, and every vain thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God with the truth. And we know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Then guarding our heart against these subtle lies and vain imaginations that build those strongholds in our mind. We can get thinking on a certain kind of thought, and if we keep telling ourselves that story, we keep telling ourselves our perception, then we're going to start believing our view of the truth. We can tell ourselves a story over and over, and every time we repeat it to ourselves, it sounds more and more true. And we all might have a little different perspective than family members had about a certain situation. And we might have a skewed perspective in the stories we tell ourselves. But the stories that we tell ourselves and our family members tell themselves become their version of the truth, become our version of the truth. And we're not talking here about persons who definitely need justice and healing. This is just about perceived injustices with an exaggerated imagination. So subtle lies focus on half the truth without looking at the whole truth. And we need to help these folks see options out of their plate. Often they cannot see the way out because of their perspectives. And sometimes it's a totalizing perspective, like it's all or nothing. It's black or white, and there's no options. It's either or. And we can help them. We can help them. So guard your heart against subtle lies and vain imaginations with some serious soul care, reframing life in terms with a healthy balance. In 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says, "Indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war according to human standards, for the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." All right? Next, guard your heart against lingering and lasting anger. Ooh, that's for me. Proverbs 15:1, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 15:18, "A hot-tempered person stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute." When Alan and I got married, we asked our parents for advice. Alan's father gave us this advice at our reception in front of everybody. He got the microphone. He said, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger." He was King James at the time. You know, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And that's when we got married in the 1970s. And if you let your sun, the sunshine, go down on your wrath or your anger, you leave room for the devil to get a foothold in your life. And that is from Ephesians 4:26. It says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. A foothold is what you need to climb and to get an access. You know, we happen to watch some American Ninja Warrior stuff, and they have to have a foothold, right? Or they have to hold on with their arms. And if you slip, you're going to fall in the pool, and you're going to be disqualified. So you've got to not let the enemy get a foothold in your life. Don't give the devil an opportunity. All right, now, guard your heart against offenses. Offenses will come. They're stumbling blocks to our souls. Offenses. They're stumbling blocks to our souls. Luke 17:1. Then he said to his disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Offenses come in various ways. We personally get offended when someone or something does not meet our expectations. That's me. I know. I have certain expectations. Somebody doesn't meet it. Bam, I'm ready to be offended. I have to guard my heart. I have to guard my heart. And here's another one. We get offended and we cause pain to ourselves when we assign motives to actions. How many times have we thought they did this because? You know, they didn't say this to me because. And we start assigning the blame or assigning the because to the situation. And we're in danger of being offended and staying offended when we say that word because. And Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like bars of a citadel. Well, a strong city has big walls around it. So when we're offended or they're offended, there's a wall between us and them. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Then this one is borrowing offenses. When we hear a story from a family member, a friend, a coworker, or news broadcast, we can borrow offenses, and that's very dangerous. Like two persons can work out their offense without the one who heard the story in the first place knowing about it. And so they've borrowed that offense. They never know the resolution, but the two people who were offended with each other have made up and everything, and this other person who was brought in on the story doesn't know the resolution, and then they're just carrying on that resentment. And when you have that resentment, it can build up. You know, just like plaque can build up in our arteries and you have to take certain medication to get the plaque out, residual resentments can build up. They build up and they can cause bitterness in our soul. So we have to guard our heart against offenses. How do you do that? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Even if you never found out whether the person repented or not, Peter said, up to seven times should I forgive to Jesus? And Jesus said in Matthew 18:22, no, 70 times seven. So you have to keep forgiving, keep forgiving, keep forgiving. Does it mean there's no consequences? No, there's consequences, but our hearts have to be clean. We forgive. God handles the consequences. Now, the next thing is guard your heart against greed. Jesus warned, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And he said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Luke 12:15. Remember this story. Maybe some of you have seen Lord of the Rings or you've read the series Lord of the Rings. And there's this little shriveled up character named Gollum. Gollum is in love with the ring, and Gollum says, the ring is my precious, and Gollum would steal, kill, destroy anything to have my precious. That is what he is greedy for, and he's not going to let it go. He's going to fight to the death. But how many kinds of greed are there? As many as we can imagine, and more. Besides money, here's some P's. Prestige, position, possessions, property, power. All those are kinds of greed we can have for prestige, position, possessions, property, and power. We have to guard our heart against greed. How? With intentional generosity. Intentional generosity. That's going to break the power of greed if we're intentionally generous. Ephesians 4:28 talks about those who have stolen. Let him who stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands so he can give to others. And that is a great thing. If you are caught stealing and you have to make restitution and you have to do community service or you have to pay a fine, then you can work with your hands and provide so that it breaks the grip of greed in your heart. You know, David, the King David, just happened to be home one day when all the others went out to war, and he happened to see Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was bathing, and David wanted her. And you know, that greed led to a lot of things, and it led to cover up and murder and death of the child. So when David is telling Solomon about wisdom and guarding your heart, he knows from what he's talking about. He knows the consequences of the greed that happened to him when Nathan came and told him this story about a man who only had one ewe lamb. And, you know, then David was all upset with that man for taking, you know, for that situation, and Nathan the prophet was able to say, "Thou art the man," in King James, "and thou art the man." And so David wrote Psalm 51, and we sing this song sometimes, you know, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So he knew when he was warning Solomon to just guard his heart with diligence, not let his heart wander, not let his heart wander in the direction of gold and glory and girls or greed or anything that starts with a G. We see what happened with Solomon. He started out well, but then his heart was drawn away. He amassed a lot of gold. He amassed a lot of girls. He amassed a lot of glory to himself. So, now, let's talk about unhealthy guarding. Unhealthy guarding. Think of Charles Dickens and the story of A Christmas Carol. We have Scrooge. Scrooge is someone who is unhealthily guarding that money, right? He's stingy, he's hoarding, he's got zero generosity, but Dickens masterfully transforms this hardened heart to one that is generous through wake-up calls in nighttime visitations. But on the other hand, there's good guarding of our hearts. You know, the unhealthy is to be too stingy, but the good guarding is to have a significant and genuine relationship with God through prayer and practicing the presence of God all throughout the day. A running conversation with God will do a lot to guard our hearts with diligence. We're taught to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, our souls, our mind, our strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we have to have a healthy view of neighbor and a healthy view of self. We have to love the Lord, and the Lord will give us love to love our neighbor and to love ourselves. We can guard our heart with wisdom, with discretion, with understanding. Proverbs is great for these things. And we can guard our heart with guidance of a friend or mentor. Do you have anybody speaking into your life? You have anyone that says, "How is it with your soul?" We have a small enough church that we can say that to one another. How is it with your soul? That's what happens in spiritual direction. How is it with your soul? What's going on in your prayer life? Who do you need God to be for you today? Who do you feel you are for God today? Guard your heart with the promises of God. We have precious, precious promises. What are some of the promises you're standing on? What are some of the promises you stand on? You have promises of God in your heart? All my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. Promise. Promise to stand on. Having these promises, let us encourage one another while it's today. Encourage one another to love and good deeds. Then we'll talk about flow a little bit. You know, you talk about getting in the flow, get in the flow. When we think of flow, you go along with the flow. Alan and I have done these tubes down a river. You know, you get in the tube and you don't go upstream. You go down with the flow. You go with the flow. In North Georgia, you float down the river, and out of the hearts flow the issues of life. So what is flowing out of our hearts? What? What is, are we happy with what's flowing out of our hearts? Here's an old country preacher saying, the mouth is the bucket that draws from the well of the heart. So if your heart is not pure, neither will your mouth be. What do we desire to flow out of our hearts and mouths? Pray, create in me a clean heart. Okay, now we're going to talk about issues of life, springs of life. When you hear the word issues, King James issues, you know, you might think of a modern thing of issues, like you have issues, I have issues. That's not it. Those are emotional issues that we've given language to in the last maybe 50 years. But what the definition of issue from Merriam-Webster is, the action of going, coming or flowing out, egress, a means or place of going out. So what's issued? What are some things that are issued? A new visa? A green card? A new stamp? Stamp collectors want the new issue? A new coin? Philatelists want the coin? A new magazine? Driver's license? Right. Alan was in the military. What about military issue? What do you get in a military issue? You get a uniform, you get a weapon, you get food, you get barracks. But in the military, you need to be prepared to lay it all down for the good of the country. You may be told, here's your foxhole. If the enemy comes, you're going to die in place. But in peacetime or in non-combat situations, you have leave time. And you have some weekends and nights off. It's not 24/7. Unless it's intensely in part of a war. Sometimes we're in crisis with our family or with caregiving, and that crisis is a 24/7 thing, but it does damage if that's a permanent situation, and the damage may not be reparable. You know, we've lost John McCain, and we've had a funeral services for him, and he spent years as a POW, and when he came back, he could not comb his hair. And we heard that on the news the other night. And to the day he died, he could not comb his own hair. That was irreparable damage. And his heart was committed to serve his nation in whatever capacity as a statesman who had friends and colleagues on both sides of the aisle, but he couldn't reach his arm up and comb his own hair. So in the scripture, issues in King James, issues are from the word tatzah. And it means a boundary, a geographical boundary. The best illustration for this is in Numbers 34. Numbers 34. Numbers 34 has the boundaries of the Holy Land. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the sons of Israel, say to them, when you enter the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, even the land of Canaan, according to its borders. And you can read that whole section till through verse 12. And, you know, it talks about the northern border, the eastern border, the southern border. And then at the end, it says, this shall be your land according to its borders all around. So borders of issues and borders are something that we can pay attention to in our heart. Where are the boundaries of our heart? Where are the borders of our heart? And have you ever had a request that was reasonable, but then it just became too much? It was like over taxing. So if you have a situation that's bumping up against a boundary issue, here's some questions you can ask. Am I free to respond to this request or this person? If you feel free, then there's no manipulation and control about it. You're free to say yes. You're free to say no. That is a healthy border. That's a healthy boundary. Do I feel coerced or manipulated to respond to this request? So healthy boundaries say so far and no more. Of course, we all need to submit every request we get to God in prayer and ask the Lord if He's calling us to help, calling us to assist, or calling us to say yes, or if there's another way to help this person or answer this request. So here's an example from my life. Last week, I had spent a lot of emotional energy when a phone call was coming in the evening, and I saw who was calling, and I didn't have the emotional energy to answer that call. So I didn't want to be rude, but I asked for a postponement. I texted the person and I said, could we please talk in the morning? And the person said, yes, we could talk in the morning. That gave me a chance to rest. It gave me a chance to recoup emotionally, to restore my soul, to be able to answer in a way that came from a healthier place than the depleted place I was in last week. Okay, so a good night's sleep, a lot of prayer helped me. Guard our hearts in expending emotional energy. We only have so much supply before we need to lie down in green pastures and restore our souls. Prayer and our continuing conversation with God will help us monitor our emotional energy output. We can practice Sabbath and different Sabbath practices. You know, caregivers get fatigued. I'm a chaplain. I see this. I see all these caregivers getting fatigued. The tendency is to overcommit to the person in our care and spend ourselves over and above the resources we have. And sometimes adult children just can't take care of their parents anymore. They just can't. They need an institution. Or sometimes parents have children they have to institutionalize because they can't care for their children. But we have to guard our hearts against emotional and physical fatigue with prayer and rest and restoration, and take time to seek the Lord, to pray and ask, how far do you want me to go with this, God? And let God give us a boundary, a border that's healthy and not just spending ourselves till we're totally depleted. Now there's time for a humor pause. This humor pause comes to you from the movie What About Bob? You remember What About Bob was Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss, I think. And Richard Dreyfuss is this psychiatrist who has spent himself on all these patients, and he's looking forward to a vacation, and he's going to go on vacation and relax and refresh his soul. And who shows up? Bill Murray as the patient Bob, who inserts himself into the family dynamics, and he's totally, you know, crossed all these boundaries. And Richard Dreyfuss tries to put him out. Side, tries to push him off the dock, tries to do all these things to get rid of Bill Murray, and Bill Murray is not going anywhere. So we have to watch it with our boundaries. You know, we need a guard to say this far and no more. You remember the old movie scenes, stop, who goes there? And they can announce themselves, stop, who goes there? And then you can decide, are they going to come in or they're not going to come in? Not allowing increasing trespasses on our souls and spirits is guarding our hearts with diligence, being able to say yes or no, feeling like we have that ability. Now, let's talk about Hoover Dam. Has anybody gone to see Hoover Dam? Alan and I were there a couple of years ago. Hoover Dam makes Lake Mead behind it and harnesses the hydroelectric power with gravity forcing the water down and then spinning in the pump house to produce hydroelectric power for Nevada, Arizona, and California. I watched a YouTube video about Hoover Dam that said that the pressure's so deep and so forceful at the bottom that 15 swimming pools could be filled up in 1 second with the pressure of that water. And two elephants could be compressed into a shoebox. That's how powerful that pressure is. Now, can you imagine the power that we have when we have the flow of the Lord in our lives, and what flows out of us is powerful? Are we going to use that power for good? Are we going to use that power for not so good? That's power. Harness that power. Harness it. Okay. Diligence is a virtue. Diligence is that power. It's a desirable quality. God rewards those who diligently seek Him, right? And Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Diligence in the Old Testament, Joshua 23:11, take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Proverbs 10:4, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 11:27, he who diligently seeks good seeks favor, but he who seeks evil, evil will come to him, and other proverbs. And then Isaiah 26:9, at night my soul longs for you, indeed my spirit within me seeks you diligently. For when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. In the New Testament, diligence comes to us, Romans 12:8, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And 2 Peter 1:5, now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith supply, moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and so on. Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope unto the end. And then we all know Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, how shall we live? How shall we live? We're called to be loving. We're called to be forgiving. We're called to bless one another, to love one another fervently with a pure heart. If we see someone overtaken in a fault, we're to restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness, from Galatians 6:1-2. We're in the process of being formed and conformed to the image of Christ. And when we see something that's not Christ-like about our brother or sister, we can pray for them. We can trust that God, who began a good work in them, will complete it. When what is flowing out of us is pure and loving and compassionate and wise and grateful and peaceful, then we are guarding our hearts with all the diligence we need. We're harnessing that power, and we're becoming effective in life and ministry, and it will be well with our souls, as we sang this morning, well with our souls. So check our hearts. Do we have healthy relationships? Do we have persons who ask us, how is it with your soul? Do we have the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin and trespasses and transgressions and offers us the gift of repentance? Are we ready to repent when this conviction comes from the Holy Spirit? Are we seeking and asking forgiveness from God and from one another? Are we praying with the psalmist, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the path of righteousness. We have a divine exchange opportunity today. We talked about the beautiful exchange. So if we have found things issuing out of us that we know are not pleasing to the Lord, if we're harboring anger, if we're harboring offenses, if we're harboring residual resentments, if we're harboring anything against members of the body of Christ, we do not have to be stuck in our impurities of thought. We do not need to be stuck in our judgments. Healing is available. We can come to the Lord for healing. We can gain wisdom. We can do the right thing. We can have this exchange. We can exchange anything that we're doing to self-protect for God's protection. And then let's look at this wonderful promise from Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which goes beyond and surpasses all comprehension, our understanding, that peace of God goes beyond our understanding, our comprehension. What will that peace of God do? It will guard. That peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Think of it, brothers and sisters, the peace of God, God's peace, not the peace the world offers. God's peace will guard our hearts and minds, not just our hearts and emotional centers, but our minds. The way we think about things, the way we think determines who we are in our ways and actions. As a man or woman or a person thinks in their heart, so are they. The peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The good news is that because of Jesus, we can all be free to be all that God wants us to be. We can be free. We're called to liberty in Christ Jesus. We're free to move, to live, to move, and have our being in Christ. We're free to love and do right. We're free. When we guard our hearts with all diligence, when the peace of God guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, we can do justly, we can love mercy, and we can walk humbly with our God. So today, the invitation, we're going to have ministry time. Maybe you've been having trouble guarding your heart with all diligence. Maybe you've been offended and not resolved the offense. Maybe you've borrowed offenses. Maybe you've noticed that greed has a stronghold in your heart. Maybe you want to repent of places in your life that you let unhealthy things into your heart. And you want to confess and repent today for unhealthy things that have set up camp in your heart. So you can come. Please don't be disappointed if this is not a one prayer and done, pray and done kind of situation. Some of us will need more work after the prayer, because if we've been bent a certain way, it may take more than one prayer to unbend us, but we can be willing. And so we will invite the Holy Spirit to come, and we will pray, and we'll have ministry time. Those of you who are feeling like you want to pray with someone, come up here. Those who need prayer, come up here, and we'll match you up, and we'll pray for one another. So let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your wisdom, your guidance, your direction, your instruction in righteousness. Now we ask you, search us, oh God, and see our hearts. We confess our sins. We confess our transgressions, our foibles, our follies. We come to you today and ask your forgiveness. Grant us new mercy today. Help us to heal from past wounds, offenses, and pain that have bound us and hindered us from freely flowing with you and your ways. Let your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lead us, O Lord, in paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, O Lord, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Direct us now. Lead us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.